page 103. So because of Sir Tristram, King Arthur let make a cry that on May Day should be a joust before the castle of Lonazep, and that castle was fast by Joyous Gard. And thus Arthur devised and that all the knights of this land and of Cornwall and of North Wales should joust against all these countries, Ireland, Scotland, and the remnant of Wales, and the country of Gore and Surluse and of Lustenois, and they of Northumberland, and all they that held lands of Arthur on this half the sea. When this cry was made, many knights were glad, and many were unglad. Sir, said Lancelot unto Arthur, by this cry that ye have made, ye will put us that be about you in great jeopardy, for there be many knights that have great envy to us. Therefore, when we shall meet at the day of joust, there will be a hard skift among us. Note, skift means fate. Return to text. As for that, said Arthur, I care not. There shall we prove who shall be the best of his hands. So when Sir Lancelot understood wherefore King Arthur made this jousting, then he made such purveyance that La Belle Isoude should behold the joust in a secret place that was honest for her estate. Now we turn unto Sir Tristram and to La Belle Isoude, how they made great joy daily together with all manner of mirths that they could devise. And every day Sir Tristram would go ride on hunting, for Sir Tristram was at that time called the best chaser of the world and the noblest blower of an horn and all manner of measures. For as books report of Sir Tristram came all the good terms of venery and of hunting and all the sizes and measures of blowing of a horn. And of him we had first all the terms of hawking, which were the beasts of chase and beasts of venery, and which were vermins, and all the blasts that longen to all manner of gamin. First to the uncoupling, to the seeking, to the rechant, note, rechant is the calling back of the hounds, return to text, to the flight, to the dearth, and to strake, note, strake is to signal with the hunting horn, return to text, and many other blasts and terms that all manner of gentlemen have caused to the world's end to praise Sir Tristram and to pray for his soul. Note 1. Page 104. Chapter 53. How by the counsel of Sir Belle Isoude Sir Tristram rode armed, and how he met with Sir Palomides. On a day La Belle Isoude said unto Sir Tristram, I marvel me much, said she, that ye remember not yourself how ye be here in a strange country, and here be many perilous knights, and well ye wot that King Mark is full of treason, and that he will ride thus to chase and to hunt unarmed ye might be destroyed. My fair lady and my love, I cry you mercy, I will no more do so. So then Sir Tristram rode daily on his hunting armed, and his men bearing his shield and his spear. So on a day a little afore the month of May, Sir Tristram passed a hart passing eagerly, chased a hart passing eagerly, and so the hart passed by a fair well. And then Sir Tristram alit and put off his helm to drink of that bubbly water. Right so he heard and saw the questing beast come to the well. When Sir Tristram saw that beast, he put on his helm, for he deemed he should hear of Sir Palomides, for that beast was his quest. Right so Sir Tristram saw where came a knight armed upon a noble courser, and he saluted him, and they spake of many things, and this knight's name was Brunis sans pitié. And right so withal there came unto them the noble knight Sir Palomides, and either saluted other, and spake fair to other. Fair knights, said Sir Palomides, I can tell you tidings. What is that? Said those knights. Sirs, wit ye well that King Mark is put in prison by his own knights, and all was for love of Sir Tristram. For King Mark had put Sir Tristram twice in prison, and once Sir Percival delivered the noble knight Sir Tristram out of prison. And at the last time Queen La Belle Isoude delivered him, and went clearly away with him unto this realm, and all this while King Mark, the false traitor, is in prison. Page 105. Is this truth, said Palomides, then shall we hastily hear of Sir Tristram. And as for to say that I love La Belle Isoude paramours, I dare make good that I do, and that she hath my service above all other ladies, and shall have the term of my life. And right so, as they stood talking, they saw afore them where came a knight all armed on a great horse, and one of his men bare his shield, and the other his spears. And anon, as that knight espied them, he gat his shield and his spear, and addressed them to joust. "Fair fellows," said Sir Tristram, "yonder is a knight will joust with us. Let us see which of us shall encounter with him, for I see well he is the court of King Arthur. "It shall not be long, or he will be met withal," said Sir Palamedes, "for I have found never no knight in my quest of this glasting beast, but and he would joust, I never refused him." "As well may I," said Bruni sans pité, "follow that beast as ye. Then shall ye do battle with me." So Sir Palamedes dressed him unto that other knight, Sir Bleoberis, that was a full noble knight, nigh kin unto Sir Lancelot, and so they met so hard that Sir Palamedes fell to the earth, horse and all. Then Sir Bleoberis cried aloud and said thus, "Make thee ready, thou false traitor knight, Bruni sans pité, for wit thou certainly I will have ado with thee to the utterance for the noble knights and ladies that thou hast falsely betrayed." When this false knight and traitor, Brunice sans pité, heard him say so, he took his horse by the bridle and fled his way as fast as ever his horse might run, for sore he was of him afeard. When Sir Bleoberis saw him flee, he followed fast after through thick and through thin. And by fortune, as Sir Brunice fled, he saw even afore him three knights of the Round Table, of which the one hight Sir Ector de Maris, the other hight Sir Percival de Gales, the third hight Sir Harry de Fislake, a good knight and a hardy. And as for Sir Percival, he was called that time of his time one of the best knights of the world and the best assured. Page 106. When Brunice saw these knights, he rode straight unto them, and cried unto them, and prayed them of rescues. "What need have ye?" said Sir Ector. "Ah, fair knight," said Sir Brunice, "there followeth me the most traitor knight, and the most coward, and the most of villainy. His name is Brunice sans pité, and if he may get me, he will slay me without mercy and pity." "Abide with us," said Sir Percival, "and we shall warrant you." Then they were unaware of Sir Bleoberis, that came riding all that he might. Then Sir Ector put himself forth to joust afore them all. When Sir Bleoberis saw that they were four knights, and he but himself, he stood in doubt whether he should turn or hold his way. Then he said to himself, "I am a knight of the Table Round, and rather I should shame mine oath and my blood, will I hold my way whatsoever fall thereof." And then Sir Ector dressed his spear and smote either other passing sore, but Sir Ector fell to the earth. That saw Sir Percival, and he dressed his horse toward him all that he might drive, but Percival had such a stroke that horse and man fell to earth. When Sir Harry saw that they were both to earth, then said himself, "Never was Brunice of such prowess." So Sir Harry dressed his horse, and they met together so strongly that both the horses and knights fell to the earth, but Sir Bleoberis's horse began to recover again. That saw Sir Brunice, and he came hurtling and smote him over and over, and would have slain him as he lay on the ground. Then Sir Harry le Fislake rose lightly and took the bridle of Sir Brunice's horse and said, "Fie for shame! Strike never a knight when he is at the earth, for this knight he may be called no shameful knight of his deeds, for yet as men may see thereas he lieth on the ground he hath done worshipfully, and put the worst passing good knights." Page 107. "Therefore will I not let," said Sir Brunice. "Thou shalt not choose," said Sir Harry, "as at this time." Then when Sir Brunice saw that he might not choose nor have his will, he spake fair. Then Sir Harry let him go, and then anon he made his horse to run over Sir Bleoberis, and rashed him to the earth like if he would have slain him. When Sir Harry saw him do so villainously, he cried, "Traitor knight, leave off for shame!" And as Sir Harry would have taken his horse to fight with Sir Brunus, then Sir Brunus ran down upon him as he was half upon his horse, and smote him down, horse and man, to the earth, and had near slain Sir Harry the good knight. Then saw Sir Percival, and he cried, "Traitor knight, what dost thou?" Then when Sir Percival was upon his horse, Sir Brunus took his horse and fled all that he ever might, but Sir Percival and Sir Harry followed after him fast. But ever the longer they chased, the further were they behind. Then they turned again and came to Sir Hector de Maris and to Sir Bleoberis. "Ah, fair knight," said Bleoberis, "why have thou succored that false knight and traitor?" "Why," said Sir Harry, "what knight is he?" "For well I wot is a false knight," said Sir Harry, "and a coward and a felonious knight." "Sir, said Bleoberis, "he is the most coward knight, and a devourer of ladies, and a destroyer of good knights, and especially of Arthur's." "What is your name, Sir Ector?" said Sir Ector. "My name is Sir Bleoberis de Ganis." "Alas, fair cousin," said Ector, "forgive me, for I am Sir Ector de Maris." Then Sir Percival and Sir Harry made great joy that they met with Bleoberis, but they were heavy that Sir Brunus had escaped them, whereof they made great dole. Page 108, Chapter 14. Of Sir Palamides, and how he met with Sir Bleoberis, and with Sir Ector, and of Sir Percival. Right so as they stood thus, there came Sir Palamides, and when he saw the shield of Bleoberis lie on the earth, then said Palamides, "He that oweth that shield, let him dress him to me, for he smote me down here fast by a fountain, and therefore I will fight him for it on foot." "I am ready," said Bleoberis, "here to answer thee, for wit thou well, Sir Knight, it was I, and my name is Bleoberis de Ganis." "Well art thou met," said Palamides, "and wit thou well my name is Palamides the Sassarin," and either of them hated other to the death. "Sir Palamides," said Ector, "wit thou well there is neither thou nor none knight that beareth the life that slayeth any of our blood, but he shall die for it. Therefore, an thou list to fight, go seek Sir Lancelot or Sir Tristram, and there shall ye find your match." "With them I have met," said Sir Palamides, "but I had never no worship of them." "Was there never no manner of might?" asked Sir Hector, "but they that ever matched with you?" "Yes," said Palamides, "there was the third, a good knight as any of them, and of his age he was the best that ever I found. For, and he might have lived till he had been a hardier man, there liveth no knight now such, and his name was Sir Lamorak de Gales. And as he had jousted at a tournament there, he overthrew me and 30 knights more, and there he won the degree. And as at his parting there met him Sir Gawain and his brethren, and with great pain they slew him feloniously, unto all good knights great damage. Anon, as Sir Percival heard that his brother was dead, Sir Lamorak, he fell over his horse's mane, swooning, and there he made the greatest dole that ever made any knight. And when Sir Percival rose, he said, "Alas, my good and noble brother Sir Lamorak, and now we shall never meet, and I trow in all the wide world a man may not find such a knight as he was of his age. And it is too difficult to suffer the death of our father, King Pellinore, and now the death of our good brother, Sir Lamorak."